Hello and welcome back to 1840 Podcast. I'm Alex Maud, the building category manager for the business, and I'll be your host for today's episode of Women in Merchanting, but this time from a supplier's perspective. We thought we'd change things up a bit with it being International Women's Day on the 8th of March. It's a day we like to recognise and celebrate within the business and the industry. It's great to introduce Rebecca Hughes from Talisay and Lauren Demeester from Sudal to join me to discuss today what it's like being a woman within the builders merchants industry, the challenges we face throughout the course of our careers, as we've seen the change over the years from being predominantly a male-dominated industry to moving towards a 50-50 split of both men and women across our suppliers and the industry of builders merchants. So welcome to you both. Thank you for joining me. It's great to have you on board.
Glad to be here.
Yeah,
great.
Thank you for the invite.
Thank you. No worries. So I'd just like you both to just introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do within your businesses. So I'll start with you, Lauren, if that's all right.
Yeah, I guess. So I'm Lauren. I work for Sudal. I've been with the company for 6 years. I look after the key accounts. I started actually as an area sales manager and worked my way up. My current job role is a national account manager. So that's on the work side of things. I guess I should tell a little bit more about myself as a person as well. So I like to play squash in my spare time. I'm not very good, but I have fun on court. There's lots of giggles and fun. And another thing, and I might be making a big fool out of myself here, but I like to play Dungeons and Dragons. So I wear the nerdy badge with honor and pride.
Fantastic. Yeah, definitely different. Definitely different from builders merchants. So.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I don't know if I should be exposing myself like this, but I have now. So, hey-o.
And Rebecca, what about you?
I'm Rebecca Hughes. I'm the marketing director at Talisay. I've been with them since 2012 was the year I joined. I have been away from the business for a couple of years in different marketing roles, but still within the industry. And I came back just over 2 years ago now. So my remit is to obviously look after the marketing team, our branding, product marketing, customer marketing, but I probably get involved a lot more in the events and the customer facing side of marketing.
Fantastic. Anything else about you personally?
Well, I would love to say that I have some really interesting hobbies, but with a full-time job and being a full-time mum to a lovely 13-year-old and my gorgeous little dog, I don't have that much time for myself, but when I do, it's really spending quality time with friends, family, and trying to do some training when I can.
But I've walking the dog as well.
I've not been very good these past few weeks, so...
Fantastic. Well, obviously, you've both got some fantastic jobs within your businesses. But just out of interest, how did you actually get into the builders merchant industry with it being so male dominated?
Well, I think it's not something that a lot of people necessarily choose to start
Absolutely,
a career
yeah.
in.
Nope.
and I'm definitely one of those people. Not that there's anything wrong with doing that, by the way. But I, for people with a keen eye, they can tell that I'm not British, so I'm Belgian, and I moved to the UK in 2017 for an internship. Internship in psychology I studied at university. Oh, okay. It wasn't kind of what I expected it to be, which is when I also decided that's not what I want to do. But I decided to stay around in the UK and because I made some really nice connections, and I obviously needed to find a job. Got approached by a recruiter who got me in touch with Sudal, who coincidentally, for people who do not know, are also a Belgian company. So from my point of view, that was a nice fit. And what I find nice about Sudal as well, they basically took a chance on me because I had no experience work whatsoever. And yeah, it's turned out all right. So that's how I rolled into it.
Yeah, really.
Oh, 100%. When I applied for the role, I'd never even held a cartridge gun. So yes, trying to demo that now is a lot easier than then. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. Did you find that you had a bit of a language barrier then?
Originally. So I'm going to sound very sad now, but I go into my inbox and I just basically scroll back about 6 years. And sometimes I read those emails again and it's just like, she was so green. And her English was very, well, not fluent at all. So that's been a nice transition as well. And it's very nice that the UK and the construction market basically welcome that and don't shy away from someone trying something they might not be 100% comfortable with.
I think that's a good thing about the buildings industry, is that you don't necessarily have to have all that experience. Just the fact that you're willing and wanting to get up and have that bit of drive, I think, makes such a difference. And clearly you've shown that from the journey that you've been on.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Big journey, long journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What about you, Rebecca?
Well, I started the world of work as more of a project manager kind of role within the professional services industry. The role kind of developed into more of a marketing spin. So I started doing marketing qualifications with the CIM, and that's where I thought I would stay. And when I was 7 months pregnant with my boy, the company that I worked for at the time went bust. So I was like, oh, what do I do now? So I went self-employed for a little bit, but then I soon realised that having a newborn and being self-employed was a little bit more tiring than I expected it to be. So after about a year or so, I did have some time off. I did some self-employed work, but then I put my CV out there, and I got a phone call from a very lovely lady called Bridget, who is still with the company. We were called Natural Paving Products at that point, and she called me and said, we've seen your CV and we're looking for somebody in marketing, would you come and speak to us? So I didn't really know that much about the company or who they supplied at that point, because I did the research before the interview. But I wasn't thinking about the gender divide at that point. It just never entered my head. Went along for the interview, was successful, and it kind of went from there. From a point of view of thinking about, oh, am I going into the construction industry or the merchant industry that is very heavily male dominated? It wasn't something. I soon learned though that it was.
Yeah, I've had a similar experience. It's not something I really anticipated as much as it is the case that you do come up against some rugged blokes, so you need to show how to use a product. And then I was 25, I was a lot slimmer than I am now. So they were like, what's this little lady trying to tell me? But it all shapes a person in a way. And for me, that was almost like a positive experience, because after several months on the job, I realized that I actually can do it. And if I am assertive enough and tell them, look, I've got the knowledge, you just need to listen to me, they will.
Yeah, I definitely think that takes some guts from you as an individual to stand up there and basically confront some of these people within the industry to kind of say, yeah, I am here to do a job and I can do it. Just because we're women doesn't mean that we've got any lesser knowledge or experience than anybody else in the room. So it is quite tough when you first get going, but it is one of those industries that, like for me, when I first went into the industry, I fell into it, and I would never want to come out of it, because you do fall in love with it. And I think that's the great thing about the industry, is the people and who you meet on a day-to-day basis that ultimately makes your job worth doing. So touching on the fact of being a woman within the industry and obviously coming across some contentious conversations within your working career, how have you managed it when you've had a male colleague that has questioned your knowledge or your ability to do your job?
I've not really had a male colleague as such question whether I had the knowledge and the capabilities to do the role. Because what I did when I started, like I said, I absolutely started from zero. Like, the bar was low, but I quickly raised it, because I realised that to be able to kind of like stand your man, you've got to have that knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I educated myself to the absolute point that I had a Sudal catalogue on my nightstand for a long time, because I felt like that's what I needed to do to be confident about selling the products and talking about the products. Yeah. So there was, in my experience, never a colleague who basically undermined me, because that's basically what they would do if they would question you on that. When you're in a joint meeting as well, what I try to do is come very much prepared. I've got some notes for today as well that I might use later. But if you're prepared and if you're confident about what your capabilities are and about your knowledge about your products, then you can be assertive about it. And if you exude that kind of energy, it's not something I've experienced, honestly.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's great that you've not experienced it, because to experience it can be quite daunting. And you do sometimes think, oh, I'm not quite sure I'm quite capable of having this conversation now or being in this room, and should I actually be here? But actually, when you look back, it's probably, certainly from my perspective, made me stronger in the role that I'm doing with who I may come across from time to time. But Becca, what about yourself?
Well, There have been times where I have had difficult conversations, and I remember I'd only been in the world of work probably about a year or so, and I was in a consultancy. And I think just reflecting on what you've said about being prepared and having that knowledge, because I was kind of new in the role, new in the position, and a younger version of myself, I didn't have that self-confidence, and I was put in a position where I was working with somebody very senior, and I didn't know that much about the business, so I'd not had the chance to really learn everything. So I was a little bit on the back foot, and I was aware of that. And I've also, I don't know if this influenced it a little bit, but my dad, lovely guy, very old-fashioned. And I've been brought up, you respect your elders, women respect men, and anybody who's above you in age or seniority. So I've been brought up being not fearful of those people, but very respectful. And I was in work one day, and one of my first tasks was to produce a new website. And the president of the company, there were two guys that ran it, and one was the president and one was the MD. And the president didn't get into the day-to-day very often, but he came in and he asked me to go into the boardroom with him. Shut the door, and I'm thinking, oh, crikey. So already I'm thinking, oh, God, I've not had many interactions with him. I don't know him very well. What's he going to say? And he had a lot of paperwork in his hands and he slammed it down on the desk as hard as he could, and it made a right bang. And I was like a rabbit in the headlights. And I was thinking...
Oh, he knew what he was doing.
It felt like he was trying to intimidate me. Looking back, in that moment, I was like, what is this? And he basically queried some of the copy that had been written for the website. And he was saying, well, this is shocking. We can't have this on the website. I mean, this is one of the key pieces of copying. And just admit that you've written it and we'll sort it out together. And I'd not actually written that copy. Mm. His partner and MD had written that copy. So I'm thinking, how do I approach this one? Mm. And I just said, look, we can rewrite it. That's fine. I said, they're not particularly my words, but we can rewrite it. I said, come on, of course it is. Just admit it. I'd rather you just admit it. You've made a mistake. You made an error. You're not very good at this. Let's just sort it out together. And in the end, I said, I'm really sorry, but actually the MD wrote that because he was quite passionate about that section of the website and wanted to do that himself. And then he started backtracking and laughing and, oh, really? I was like, yeah.
How did it make you feel, though, in that moment?
I felt like that.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Being brought up as I have and being so new into that role and that environment, I just didn't know what to do. But it was a really good learning curve.
Yeah.
An absolutely brilliant learning curve. And other women in the business have said, you know, that person had been notorious for kind of having a go at women almost, and reducing them to tears in some instances, but then building them back up. And I've never got that logic. I've never come across anybody quite like that since. And it absolutely wasn't this industry. But that was really, really hard to take. But like I say, a really great learning curve. And since then, I've absolutely made sure, like you, if I'm going into something, I'm going in with all the facts or as many of the facts that I can have as possible. So if I do get challenged. And I think one other thing that it might be worth mentioning, in a previous role within this industry, I was working with a merchant, and I'd been asked to pick up and implement a rewards program for the trade customers. And I had to go into the boardroom and present it. And that was daunting enough because apart from me and the HR director, everybody else around that table were all men. They'd all been with the business for a long time. They're very knowledgeable. And I'd not been with this particular business for more than 2 months myself. So I was thinking, okay, right, back to the fire, let's go. And it went okay. And the two main stakeholders that I needed buy-in from to execute this operationally, one was on board and wanted to get involved. And the other one, in that setting, was like, it's not worth it. Not wash his face. Not worth investing in. I don't want my part of the business having anything to do with it. It wasn't rude or anything, but I was like, okay, fine. You know, we'll run the pilot then. If we've got sign off on the investment, great. And after the board meeting, to be fair, he did say to me, he said, look, good luck with it, but I just don't think you're going to get anywhere with it. And I said, okay, well, we'll see.
I guess sometimes that gives you the determination to make it work, doesn't it?
Well, the pilot went really well. And that same person came up to me after the pilot had been kind of wrapped up and analysed. He said, so when this gets rolled out, can I make sure that my part of the business is involved? Mm-hmm. And I was like, absolutely, I'd be thrilled. And that was good enough for me because I thought I'd been able to demonstrate something.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You're not convinced at the start. That's fine. But having the opportunity to actually prove and demonstrate something was I thought I'd take that.
Yeah, yeah, take the back set and then work on it, and hopefully absolutely somebody else will jump on board. And clearly that's what exactly what happened there.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to prove that something could work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how do you think attitudes have changed then over the years with women within the builders merchants?
I think they've become more positive and inviting to more to women more. When you walk into a merchant now versus, in my experience, 5 years, there were no women 5 years ago. Virtually. Yeah. And now it's almost every branch has got at least one woman, if not two.
Yeah.
And is it behind the counter? Is it doing admin? Is it on the road? Is it in the yard? It's really refreshing to see that, but not just in merchants, but also in senior positions, which again means that they've worked their way up and they've been given those chances. And I think that's something that's important in general.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. I remember one of the first times I walked into a merchant, and it was one of our customer branches, and it was to kind of make sure that some of the point of sale that we'd sent out was front and centre and looking good and doing its job. And I was kind of just getting used to that world as well. Some builders driving out, and they got like the wolf whistles and the I was like, really? Wow.
That's still happening.
Wow. I'm like, you really don't see many women around here, do you? I'll never forget that. I don't know if that'd happen as much now.
No, I don't think it does happen as much now. I think, like you say, that there is a lot more women coming through. I mean, certainly from my point of view as a category manager, seeing suppliers, I'm now seeing more and more suppliers that are women coming through, which is great because you like to have that mix. And I think having that balance is great.
Absolutely.
Certainly from my point of view of being able to bounce off each other in a room, I know with yourself, Lauren, and when Andy's been in for meetings, it's great to kind of see the men and women split and the bouncing that you get within a meeting, because we all do look at things in a different perspective. And I definitely think women look at it slightly differently sometimes to men, and bringing that into meetings and projects definitely helps everything drive forward.
Yeah. Another example that I don't think would happen now at all, but this must have been 11, 12 years ago, and I was at an exhibition in London. I forgot what show it was, but then this was with Talisay, our natural paving back then. And one of the guys on the team, all retired now, a lovely gent, absolutely lovely guy, but very old school, very traditional. And I remember we'd just set up the exhibition stand, the doors were about to open, we were just talking about what we're hoping to get from the day, the messaging, things like that. And he looked around the room and he looked at me and he looked me up and down. And I was like, so he said, I had a trouser suit on. And he said, you should really be wearing a dress. Why aren't you wearing a dress? And I was like, I just went, why aren't you?
Brilliant. Brilliant comeback. I love it. Absolutely love it.
And he laughed it off then. And he did. I don't think he's a really nice guy. So I don't want to speak, you know, ill of him. But I just don't think you'd get that kind of a comment or a quip now, because I think he actually meant it.
And I think that just goes to show the change over the years of exactly how men interact with women and how women interact with men now, that you don't need to have them sort of comments in a room, because we're all here, as we've said at the start, just to do a job. And ultimately, as long as we all get that job done, we've all ticked a box and done exactly what we set out to do in that day.
I think there's a lot more women actually like tradies as well
now.
And definitely. That's definitely helped with that transition from catcalling to being respected.
Yeah. So how do you think we can attract more women into the industry to try and move towards that 50-50 split that we spoke about earlier?
Yeah, you go first.
So there was a couple of things that I think would be worth mentioning, because they're quite current and things are happening right now. So I'm part of the BMF's Making a Material Difference initiative. Well, I represent Talisay within the initiative, and that is setting out to attract not only younger people to the industry and people in other industries thinking about career change, but also women. So I think if as an industry more of us can get behind that, the outreach that they're trying to do and the promotion that they're trying to do will help us potentially to attract more women. And I'm also part of the Construction Inclusion Coalition, have a forum within it called Elevate. And I feel really bad because I've missed the past couple of forums due to the work commitments. But that particular forum is about supporting fellow women within the industry and looking at how we can improve the equality and the gender split within the industry. So again, it's something else that I think if as an industry we can all get behind and support, that might help make inroads into that.
Yeah, I echo that. The BMF initiative is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I think like I mentioned before, and when you mention it, everyone says yes. They didn't choose this industry to be in, but they rolled into it.
Yeah.
And the initiative from the BMF is brilliant to to change that people actually want to become or want to pursue a career in the construction industry.
Absolutely.
And what my personal experience is as well, they always take a chance on you.
Yeah.
They're not picky, really. So, and the industry is great. It's about women coming together, men coming together, mixing, and like I say, those different perspectives.
Yeah.
Really, well, make sure that the job that you set out to do is successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm all about the best person for the job. And, you know, if there's a man that's a better candidate for a particular role, absolutely, that the man should get the job. I have no issue with that. But I think if there were more women applying for the roles, if they were more visible to women, and I was on a panel for the BMF initiative at an event last year, and I just remember saying, I would love to meet somebody in the industry that when you first have a conversation with somebody, they say, I've always wanted to work in merchanting or construction, as opposed to the, I just fell into it,
which is what everyone's story.
I think the campaign will have been successful if we start having those conversations and people are saying back to us, no, I always wanted to do that. Be like, brilliant.
So over the years, we've seen a lot of policies change, whether you look at maternity, paternity, menopause is now becoming more and more of a subject. But obviously, the gender pay gap has definitely been something on everybody's radar. And I definitely think it's certainly minimalised over the last couple of years, the gap that we're seeing. Do you think it's where it needs to be now, or do you think there's still more work to be done?
I think there's always work to be done, not just when it comes to gender pay gap, but diversity in general.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's really difficult to police. I felt the need to ask internally as well.
Yeah.
And it is something that Sodal as a company researches and make sure that it's not present, which was the answer based on the research that I had. But that's not something that necessarily every company divulges or devotes resources to.
No.
Yeah.
And it's so important. And I'm a firm believer of your salary needs to reflect your capabilities, your merits, your experience.
Absolutely.
And it's sometimes also on the person, in my opinion. Yeah. So you have to at least address it when you're not happy with it. And if that address falls on deaf ears, then I think that's a sign that you're at the wrong company or the wrong business.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely work to be done still, in my opinion.
I'm sure there is. But in my experience, the companies that I've worked for, there's not been anything that's obvious or that would make me question that, to be fair. So I haven't got that personal experience of that. Where I am at the moment, it's there's a salary agreed, and you know that job goes out, and you recruit for that job. But I would have assumed there's obviously got to be flexibility, like you say. If you get somebody in who is very experienced and come in and hit the ground running, or you're going to take a chance on somebody who has less experience, but you want to work with them and support them to build them up. But as far as I'm aware, there's nothing to do with. I've never been in a company where I've thought that was a suspicion or a worry.
That's probably why you're still with Talisi.
Possibly. Yep.
So just to put it out there, I'm also, I've not experienced that personally, but I am aware of it.
Yeah, I think we'd be naive to think that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, absolutely. I think within the builders merchants industry, it is there and it is becoming more and more of a topic of conversation. And I think addressing it and giving people the equal opportunity, regardless of whether you're a woman or a man, to go for that job role is key ultimately. And doing that job as a person and as an individual is what we all strive to do.
Mm.
So just touching on making sure that women and men are treated exactly the same, where do you feel that there is more equality needed and more gender flexibility needed within the industry?
I think for me, equality is about getting equal chances, not necessarily getting the exact same treatment, because you're different.
It's got to be right for the individual.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, for example, when a CV passes your desk, do not look at the gender, but look at someone's actual curriculum vitae instead of deciding, Rebecca, nah, don't want that. Don't want her on my team. So I've got enough women to deal with at home already. It's things like that that are important and that needs to get into people's minds. And it's not, I'm not saying that happens constantly.
I guess it can do from time to time.
Yeah.
And I think from what I see of the industry as it stands at the moment, the divide is balancing up, especially in things like marketing. The marketing team that I'm in, we are predominantly women. Some of the back office functions, the finance, the HR, within Talisay, it's quite equal. and that there's probably at least 50% female to men ratio. We've got some in the external team, but I think if there's a gap anywhere, it probably is, I think I might have said earlier, the external world and some of the leadership roles. But having said that, our SLT is probably at least a third female. So I don't know, Telsey might be different and it's very much the best person for the job. But I do think the gaps exist more in external world, external sales, commercial positions and leadership roles.
And I guess you're probably seeing it a little bit more in builders merchants in general at the minute, albeit there is more and more women coming into the roles of transport, yeah, sales, external sales execs. So we're not just seeing it now in admin back office positions, which is great because it means that we're getting the equalness across branches, so that we have got everybody in different roles, whether you're male or female.
I mean, I remember one of my first events that I ever went to with a buying group, there was a golf day. And I was just going for the evening because I don't play golf. And I was meeting colleagues there and I parked up in the car park and I had to pass the clubhouse to get to reception. And I was a lot younger than I am now. And I just remember walking past with my suitcase and my dress and I looked up and it was just a sea of men. And I remember thinking, wow, okay, now I feel outnumbered. And at that event in the evening, there must have been 200 and odd people there. And I bet I counted 5-6 women in the room, including me. And a lot of those were branch managers and commercial roles. Now, go to a similar event and there's definitely been a change. But I don't think we're there yet, but
no,
there's definitely
absolutely
been
I think
a
we've
change.
Still definitely got a long way to go yet, but I think we've made some massive inroads over the last few years.
Absolutely.
To get us where we need to be, and we just need to keep moving on that to hopefully get in, say, 5-10 years time where we will have that 50-50 split across suppliers and merchants.
Yeah, I think it's like you said about the back office roles. There's always going to be some roles in the business that women are more interested in than men.
Yeah, it's a natural attraction to certain.
And it's about what's right for the individual, as you said before. But when you're giving opportunities to an employee, you need to give them to the employee, not depending
not
on what their or what their gender
absolutely
is. And that's definitely the case at Swedal. I like to think I'm an example of that. So it's going in the right direction. It's just hopefully it will keep going.
So just before we close, I just got some quick fire questions just to kind of round up and just to give our listeners and viewers something a little bit about yourself, that's about you and how you see your job roles and what you're interested in. So first one is favourite part of your job?
The people.
What about you?
People, the networking.
What's the difficulty of your job?
Having to say no.
Yeah, that can be hard.
But to merchants.
to anyone, really. But yeah, it's something I'm trying to be better at. But yeah, it's...
I think that comes with time and experience, because I definitely felt that myself when I first started, because you kind of want to be seen to be able to do everything and be there at everybody's beck and call. But actually, reality is your time's precious and what you do is precious. So ultimately, you have to have them boundaries, don't you?
Now, please don't take advantage of that.
I think for me, and this is wherever I've worked, from a marketing perspective, the hardest thing is trying to please everybody, because what we do is so visible and everyone's got an opinion on it, so we can never get it right for everyone. So that's hard for me, and I've had to learn to deal with that over the years and come to terms with it. And if we make a mistake in marketing, you know, there's a fair chance more people will see it than you would like. If maybe there's a mistake in another part of the business, it's not that visible, so it can be rectified and without anybody knowing it's happened.
So thirdly, what would be your critical trait someone need possess in your role?
Motivation, I think. One of the reasons that I enjoy the people I work with is because they motivate me.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of intrinsic motivation as well. Mm-hmm. But that's why I like about the industry. Like you get that energy from each other. You bounce off. But you need to have that internally as well. So motivation is very important.
Mm-hmm. I would say my particular role, resilience. And the other one would be passion. Care about what you do, who you work for, who your customers are. Got to care.
And then finally, just to finish off, what is the best piece of advice you would give to someone coming into the builders merchants industry?
Take away the grain of salt. we're here to earn a living. We're not here to live, kind of thing. And if something rubs you off in a wrong way, it's rarely personal. And if it is, then it's their fault.
I would say probably just make the most of it and embrace it. Work hard, play hard, enjoy it.
I feel like I wanted to give that answer, but I didn't.
So I feel like we've touched on quite a few there. Motivation, having passion for the job, I definitely think that comes into play, makes your job a lot easier.
Absolutely.
And definitely the motivation side of it. If you haven't got any motivation, then to do your job can be definitely quite difficult. So thank you to you both for joining me. It's been great to have you on board and actually agreeing to do the podcast with me.
It's definitely
been something new for myself, and I'm sure it has for you, and hopefully our viewers and listeners will have taken something away from today's podcast. So.
I'm not going to read the comments.
Hope so. No, I'm not watching that back.
So just like to say thank you very much for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. It's been great to have everybody following the 1840 podcast, and I'm hoping that after this one, where you've had a little bit of a different host, you'll still keep on board and keep following us all over our social media as we continue our journey on the podcast. Thank you. 1, 2